Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for thus far your grace has brought us in these services. We appreciate your blessings in all the past services. We are grateful to you.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for raising our faith. Thank you for drawing us closer. Thank you for meeting our needs. Thank you for answering our questions. Thank you for solving our problems.
Amen.
Thank you for healing our bodies.
Amen.
Thank you for filling with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
We thank you for all that you have done.
Thank you, Jesus.
We bless your holy name.
Amen.
Thank you again for this worship service that just ended. We bless your name for the hymns and the crosses that have been sung to praise your worthy name. May your name be glorified. Thank you for special numbers. Lord, we just ask you bless both the song leader, Lord, the users of instruments, those who sang specials, and the entire congregation.
Amen.
And may our worship be acceptable in your sight.
Amen.
Thank you, gracious Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, after a short time, your servant will take the pulpit to speak your word again unto us. We pray, dear Father, you prepare our hearts.
Amen.
That your word might fall on good ground.
Amen.
May you strengthen your servant.
Amen.
May you inspire and anoint him.
Amen.
Give him unction of your spirit.
Amen.
That your word will go forth and pierce the heart of the enemy one more time.
Amen.
And the victory will be ours.
Amen.
And shame will be to the devil.
Amen.
Thank you, King of glory.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' mighty name, we pray with faith and thanksgiving.
Amen. Amen.
God bless you. Can please be seated. Before we proceed, I would like to call the host pastor to once again greet the audience. God bless you.
Good morning, saints.
Once
again, we want to appreciate God for bringing us thus far in the convention.
The
blessings we have received already.
We're
trusting Him more for His blessings. Like I said the other time, I want to repeat that by the time we bring the conversion to a close, when we shall all be going back home, we pray that God will make it possible that we be loaded with testimonies. God bless you for coming. God bless you,
sir.
Thank you.
God bless you richly.
I
want to see whether we still have people that have not been introduced.
Okay.
Shalom to the saints of God. Idowa Agmuela is my name. Solid Rock Enter Tabernacle Abeokuta. God bless you, sir.
Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph Olubusayo Adeyemi. God bless you.
God bless you, church. Mwaje Samson from our church.
You look as if some preachers, they used to fear the mic. They want to get rid of it quickly. But if they happen to stand there, it's something else.
As going by Toba David by turn.
God bless you richly.
Once
again, we would like to appreciate everybody.
Who
have made it a time to attend the convention.
And
thank you for your prayers.
And
your support. We want to specially appreciate the ministers for their maturity. You know, where we are having 6 or 7 services, it means only 6 or 7 ministers can preach. Out of over 70 ministers. So you can see what it is. But over the years, God's servants have been very humble. And they believe that the will of God is best for each of the services.
I
will know that in the scripture God used people differently. There are some of the apostles that never wrote one letter that we can see in the scriptures. And it does not reduce their apostleship. And we have the one that wrote the old New Testament.
He's
also an apostle. And Rapport made us to know that the gifts differ. And we are told not to compare ourselves with ourselves. Because those that do it, they are kind
and
not wise. And beside that, when we seek God for leadership for services, no matter how we feel or think, we have to yield to God's leadership. If God said that this brother should take all the services, for us to have the best results, we have to give the mic to this brother. Because that is what God wants. This other brother might be a greater minister, but might fall in the category of like John the Baptist that God prepared for so long for a short walk. God bless you, ministers. May the Lord lift off the horn of your ministries and bless your local assemblies and may them to grow and flourish. Thank you very much. Several people and several churches are connected to the meetings. Many of them keep sending greetings. Pastor Samuel Olayemi sent his greetings. He is from Asaba. He said he has been enjoying the services and he sent his greetings. Pastor Bamisaye also said he wanted to be here physically, but for some reasons it was not possible. Brother Samson Oyetunde still called this morning. Pastor Samson Oyetunde.
He
sent his greetings and covered our prayers. We know he normally come every year. Mostly every year. But his health has not been what it should be for some time. So he covered our prayers. The people that requested for Yoruba Sermon Book should please collect it today. If you lost some money, somebody brought some money, that well, I didn't even ask where you pick the money. But I have the money with me. So if you lose yours, and it's exactly what you lost in the notes, denominations that you are looking for, you will have it. If it is the same amount, but not the same denomination, it's not yours.
We'll
still be trusting God for your own. God bless you richly. As we announced yesterday, when we close this service, depending on the audience,
you
also use this door for part of the cake that someone baked for us and a bottle of malt. God bless you. But if you are not a minister yet, maybe you are just still nursing the idea, you may shave it for now. Pass the other door. God bless you richly. Don't use Martina to launch your ministry. The Lord bless you. Yeah, this morning, by the grace of God, we'll be having one of the ministers to speak to us in person of Pastor Dele Adelodun from Lagos. As we rise up on our feet and sing, reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by.
did a witch upon the Lord. Oh, shall renew their strength. Oh, they shall mount up with wings as an eagle, as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Oh, teach me, Lord. Yes. Teach me, Lord, to live. Lord Jesus, how we thank you this morning for this privilege that we have to be called your sons and to be called your daughters, to be called Christians. That is the greatest identity that we can ever have. No wonder the songwriter said, I'd rather be an whole time Christian than anything I know. We thank you for the privilege of gathering together, giving us another time of fellowship with saints of like precious faith, coming from all over the country and even beyond. We're grateful for all that you have done for us through these meetings, Almighty God. We appreciate you for everything. Father, may you receive our thanksgiving. May you receive our worship. Amen. May you receive our heart of praises. Amen. And gratitude, our offerings that we have offered before you. Lord, even our person, Father, may you accept. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let nothing, O God, stand between our soul and the Savior. Amen. Lord Jesus, may you come by one more time. In your own manner to break the bread of life, that our eyes of understanding will be illuminated. Amen. And after an encounter with you, we shall become light-footed. Amen. Having the burdens and cares of life rolled away. Amen. To go and declare the testimony. Amen. That indeed you are alive. Amen. You are not dead. Amen. Move through the audience of your people. Amen. But please don't pass no one by. Amen. May you stop at the post of each person. Amen. May you discern their needs, Almighty God. Amen. And grant to your children the substance of their request and their desire. Amen. Please settle them. Amen. Establish them. Amen. Make them happy. Amen. Fulfill their joy. Amen. Heal their sicknesses and Amen. Disease. Grant to them their innate desire. Amen. That their joy may be full. Grant it, Heavenly Father. Amen. Let there be a surround of your person. Amen. And may you do great things among us. Amen. Be with those who are connected in the airwave. May your cable pass from you to us. Amen. And from us unto them. That they might be partakers of the like blessings, such as we shall receive. Other places where believers are fellowshipping today, your unfailing presence, which we believe is here, let it also be with them. Take glory, Master. If there be those who are still coming on their way, may you guide their path safely. Amen. Help us, O Lord, we pray. Amen. We want to thank you for the host church, your grace in their lives to do this every year. We pray, O God, that you will bless them back. Amen. Replenish all sources of support and assistance. Be with your servant, our pastor here. Give him renewed strength. Give him a new lease of life. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Be with the associate pastor who has been holding forth. Give him complete healing also in his own body too. Be with the rest of the servants of God who are hosting us. Bless them also. Bless your servants who are visiting to support the meeting. Oh God, may you bless them richly. the congregation of your people from all the parts of the country that they have come from. May you bless them.
Amen.
Lord, they have made so much sacrifices, especially in times like this in our country. Father, may they get so much out of it also.
Amen.
That their coffers will be filled when they shall go back.
Amen.
And they will rejoice in your salvation.
Amen.
It will not be a ritual. It will be a fresh encounter.
Amen.
Your daughters who are catering, who are providing food, the brethren with logistics, every aspect of this program. Lord, even the most silent background people that we cannot talk about right now, Father, may you bless them. Oh God, all that everyone has done to make this gathering a success, Father, may you remember it for good.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Help me this morning.
Amen.
Help my interpreter.
Amen.
And help our audience.
Amen.
At the end of the service, may we give you glory.
Amen.
In the mighty name of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so that we can take our seat once and for all. I humbly invite you to pick your Bibles. And let's turn to the book of Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15.
Genesis,
as we welcome ourselves to the house of the Lord again this morning, in the name of Jesus Christ. Genesis 15.
Genesis,
if I will save your time, I'm sure it looks like this chapter has been read in this service. I wasn't there, but some references were made to it, so it gave me a sense that must have been read. All right, so that's good. So the one we have read, remember. So I can take just a portion and save our time. Amen. All right. Okay, verse 8. Let's take from verse 8 so we can get a background. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? That's Abraham asking God. And he said unto him, take me an ephah of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove and a young pigeon.
And
he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided in out.
O si mo gbogbo nkan won yi wa sodo re. O si la won li agbede meji. O si fi ela ekini koju si ekeji. Bi ko si awon eyele ni ko la.
And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away.
Nigba ti awon eye si so kale wa sori oku won yi, Abraham le won kuro.
And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham, and lo, an aura of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance.
Lẹ́yìn náà ni wọn ó sì jáde ti àwọn ti ọrọ̀ pípọ̀.
and thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they shall come either again, for the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet full. And it came to pass, when the sun went down, and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river
Euphrates.
The Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Kadmonites. And the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaims. And the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites. Amen.
Amen.
Deuteronomy chapter 4.
Deuteronomy, Uri Kerin.
Amen.
Amen.
Verse 1-6. Now therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your father giveth you.
Genesis in Israel, lanati
This is a very strong charge. Ye shall not add to the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. So what kept them alive and from being destroyed? Hey, you can preach this better than me now. All right, let's take very good note of that. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it.
Moreover,
I Moses' strong emphasis on this passage
is
for the people to follow, cleave, embrace, stand for all he taught them. He said by that, they will not only survive, they will escape many things. Let's take the last line for our reading here. Keep therefore and do them, verse 6. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people.
Yes, ma se won nitori pe eyi li ogbon yin ati oye yin li oju awon orilede ti yo gbo gbogbo ilana won yi ti yo si wi pe ologbon ati amoye eniyan ni toto ni orilede nla yi. Amen.
Moses said you cannot be wise outside of what he taught them in their in his own age.
Most people so fun pe won o le ni oye yato si oro ti o ti pa lase fun won.
So the only wisdom was the message of that hour. And the only wisdom today is the message of our own hour. You believe that? If you want to escape death, it is the message of our own hour. If you want to be shielded, it is the message of our own hour. 1 John chapter 1 verse 7, the last one. Sorry to keep you standing. Yes, 1 John chapter 1 verse 7.
Johanu kini ori kini ese ikeje.
But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Amen. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin.
Ṣùgbọ́n bí àwa bá rìn nínú ìmọ́lẹ̀, bí òun ti ń bẹ nínú ìmọ́lẹ̀, àwa ní ìdàpọ̀ pẹ̀lú ara wa. Ẹjẹ́ Jésù Kristi ọmọ rẹ̀ ní wẹ̀wá náà kúrò nínú ẹsẹ̀ gbogbo.
Kí ni wọ́n kọ bẹ́ẹ̀? Ẹtun ẹjẹ́ wo? Ẹjẹ́ Jésù Kristi ọmọ rẹ̀ ní wẹ̀wá náà. It's a continuous something.
Bẹ́ẹ̀ni ibà àìṣetán ni.
Yeah, may the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his holy word. God bless you, may please be seated. This morning, we would like to greet everyone in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank God for the gift of a new day. The gift of a new week. And we pray it will take us further in Christ. Deeper in his love. Better than we have ever had in our lives. I thank God for giving me the opportunity to be in the midst of the believers at this time. And I also appreciate our dear host pastor and his associate and the ministries at the local church for extending this privilege to me to stand before the people of God to be of service, trusting God that somewhere along the line we can be of a blessing. And I want to appreciate all the servants of God. Both those who have spoken before me. And one that will still speak after.
And
also all the servants of God who had given support and back up. May the Lord bless you, sirs. I want to believe we appreciate all the services that we have had. I want the servants of God to know that their labor can never be in vain in our lives. Their contributions have made us better people. And definitely we are going on better than we came. So I pray that the Lord will bless them all for their efforts. If you don't see it so manifestedly, believe me, it's working. Lives are changing. Needs are being met.
Amen.
Desires are being granted. People are getting better than they were. Because the message of the hour is the truth. And there is nobody who will sit under it that will not have an impact of it in their lives. I believe the bride is becoming more glorious. Don't worry, you might not see it so much visible. One of these days, something will provoke it. And then we all will appreciate the grace that is in the bride. So God bless you, sirs. For all your labor over our lives. Amen. And we appreciate every one of you. If you are not seated, there will be no reason for us to be here. Yeah. When God gives us people to listen to us, it's an encouragement to every preacher. And I want to thank you all. The sacrifices that you have made, despite the situation in our country, to be here today, I pray that that the Lord will make you get so much out of it, even much more than you offered to Christ. And to our host brethren, God bless you richly for all your sacrifices, the cooking, the logistics, both obvious and unobvious aspects, the officers who have been tending to us. God bless you all. Can we appreciate everyone this morning? God bless you. I bring greetings from the saints out of the country. Each person wanted me to mention their names, but that would take me the entire service. Some of them told me they are connected and are watching if I will pass their greetings. So if they are watching, I'm passing the greetings of all of you. Yeah, the saints in the U.S., the ones in Canada, the ones in Trinidad, the ones in the U.K., they all send their greetings. God bless you all. All right, this morning, if the Lord will be our help, which I believe he will, I want to speak on you and I and to celebrate our message. So I'm speaking this morning on a subject I called the people of his atonement. The people of his atonement. Amen.
Amen.
In God's creation, or in God's own system, before God allow a problem, He creates a solution. If you can take it, I will say before God creates problems. That sounds flat, isn't it? It's because I do not want to give credit to Satan. Because Satan cannot actually do anything except by God's permission. And listen to me. The things the devil does is not doing it because he has the ability to do it. It is the Lord creating condition for it so that he can give us an opportunity to understand and know him better. Because if the prophet says the devil is not in the picture at all, then he's actually not in the picture at all. It means he is just an ordinary tool by which God is explaining to us his redemption program. Alright. So this is why I said before God creates the problem, the Bible said no evil will happen in the land without God knowing about it. Okay. For those of you that may struggle with that, let me say before God allows a problem, how many believes God is responsible for Satan's creation? You agree he's responsible for he created him. And he created him for a purpose. So both the purpose and him, who is responsible for
it? All
right. So pick the one that suits you there.
You
know, level of faith, grace, and maturity differs. But before there is a problem, solution already exists. Brother Brown said before you have the fish, the water it will swim in had been created. Before you have a human being, the land it will walk upon has been created. If problem occurs before God finds solution, then he's not fit to be God. it wouldn't be better than me. So it follows that every problem, every challenge that has happened, that is happening, and that will yet happen, God knows all about it. And because He knows about it, He had created solution waiting for the problem. Before there was one sin on the earth, the lamb already was slain. In the mind of God, right? In the mind of God, before the foundation of the world, why was the lamb slain? Because God knew there would be sin. And why is there sin? For God to be able to demonstrate His attributes. So nothing is out of kilter. God has been in charge. God is still in charge. And He will always be in charge. I know where I'm going. You just follow me closely. Brother Bram said, God has never had a new thought about anything. All the thoughts He wanted to have before Genesis 1, that said in the beginning, God did all His thinking. So today, He is not presently thinking. What God is doing is guarding the unfolding of His eternal thoughts. In that thought, He thought of you, He thought of me, and He also thought of everything that you and I will go through, whether caused by you or caused by Himself. So solution exists before the problem. This is the nature of God before time, and that has been His nature even in dealing with us. God does not deal with us outside of His redemption plan. There was a time He brought a man. They call him Adam. When Adam came here, God put him on a contract of, if you do this, I will do this. By this, man realized that in this contract, it became a failure. This contract or covenant never lasted so long until it was discarded. But because the purpose of God, or the thoughts that God had before the foundation of the world, cannot be defeated, God decided, I will take another man and I will use him to explain the kind of dealing I want to have with my own people. The man He chose had no marriage. The man He chose never impressed Him in any way. He just chose him
out of love, out of his own free will, out of his own desire, he might have even been an idol worshiper. It didn't matter to God. Men look at faces, but God is looking at the heart. God knew where his deposits are. So we find this man that was called Abram. Not Abraham.
Abraham.
When he picked this man, he said, I will not operate the kind of contract I had with Adam with this one. The kind of contract with Adam was, if you do this, I will do this. But when he brought this man,
Abraham,
he told Abraham, it is not what you do, it is what I do. And to begin to firm up the arrangements, Abraham demanded for a contract. And the Bible told us, which the prophet explained to us, that God had to meet Abraham in a way he will understand. God told him, bring the bullock. Brother Abraham said, in many nations under heaven, there are different ways in which agreements become binding. They say in America, it is handshake. A deal. In Japan, they will throw salt at each other. Where Abraham came from, they will bring a goat or a lamb or a full cow, depending on the economic status. Kill the cow, divide it into two, and the two people will stand in between, and they will make their covenant. And after, they will bind themselves with a curse, that if any of us betray this covenant, let our life be destroyed like this animal. But you know what? When God told Abraham, bring the bullock, the prophet said, he introduced two other things. What are they? The turtle dove and the pigeon. Because God knew it is not difficult for him to keep his own side of the bargain. But it is difficult for man to keep his own side. And God wanted to put himself in a situation that whatever happened, now listen to me, whether man failed or not, God still wants to keep his promise. I say it with all sense of responsibility, that whether man failed or he passes, God wants to keep his word still. That is what the prophet called unconditional covenant. So it is not going to be about the man. It is going to be about God. That was why, when the man puts the sacrifice down, it looks as if God did not come on time. So the man was busy trying to protect his sacrifice, chase the flies away, to keep it nice and pure. In the process, he got weak. He got tired. He slept away. When he was sleeping, who was protecting the sacrifice? Who was keeping it in the position to be acceptable to God? Brother Bram said when he slept off, it's a sign that every man has a penalty of death. And when the darkness came upon him, a sign that when he dies, he should go to hell. But thank God, the light came down. The burning light, which was the pillar of fire, that was God himself. He came in the midst of the sacrifice. Do you know why God did that? Do you know why he introduced the pigeon and the turtle dove? Brother Abraham said, those pigeon and turtle dove, they speak of atonement and they speak of healing. It was because God, who knew the future, knew that Abraham will do things that will make it impossible for God to keep his word. But because he was determined to keep his word, whatever he does or did not do will not matter. God will still perform his promise. God knew that Abraham will backslide and go to Gera of the Philistines. And when he get there, he will deny his wife. He will lie about his wife. That is my sister and not my wife. God knew Abraham will come to a time that he will doubt the promise and laugh in the face of God. Genesis chapter 17 said so. He will laugh in the face of God and say, forget about this Isaac matter. Let Ishmael live before you. God knew that Sarah will smile within herself and say, can these things be so? And God will challenge it. And Sarah will say, God is lying. God knew those things will happen. But despite those things which are capable of making God not to keep his word, God said, no. What I will do for those problems that will come, I will offer an advanced solution. So what did God do? God gave them an advanced atonement to protect every fault, every mistake, every wrong that will happen, so that no matter the situation, the promises of God will be kept. The journey of God with Abraham, who was said to be the father of faith, started with atonement. And that was why everything Abraham did before he became
Abraham,
Brother Abraham said, God did not see it. You know why? He kept looking at Abraham by the goggle of the atonement. Now, that was a shadow atonement. If the shadow atonement could do that much, how much more the perfect atonement?
Now,
Abraham ran under that shadow. And that was why,
When the perfect atonement came, because the shadow stood for him, the substance must also stand for him. And because the substance stood for him, in the New Testament, the Bible says, Abraham staggered not at the promises of God because of unbelief. You know why? You could see staggering, but as far as God is concerned, because he looked through the goggle of his own blood, God did not see it. The atonement exists before the problem came. You love him this morning. The atonement exists before the problem came. We shall read some few things this morning. If you can take it, then you will not have complex against this bride. Look, Brother Bram said, I will never be perfect in your eyes. It's a quotation. He said, you will never be perfect in my eyes. I will see fault in you, you will see in me. You know why? Because we don't have the goggle through which God looks. Then the prophet said, I won't be perfect in your eyes. You won't be perfect in my eyes. He said, let's not be arguing. Let us lay it aside. What about the eyes of God? I think we should read it. It will help some of us. Amen.
Amen.
You love him this morning. All right. God bless you too. If you can give us 55-0115, law.
Iwe ofin ti wole wa su lodun 1955 ni ojo kedogo osu kini
55-0115 law paragraph 33
ojo kedogo osu lodun 1955.
These people are very smart. Now the blood that's referring to the animal blood will not be perfect by an animal, but the blood in Christ was perfect. Now I will never be perfect, and you will never be perfect. The other quote said, in your
hands
I will never be perfect in your
sight,
and you will never be perfect in my sight. But let us lay that aside. Can we lay it aside this morning? When you lay it aside, you won't emphasize the imperfections of one another. Sometimes when you dwell on that, you yourself, you are becoming vile unconsciously and you don't know it. You are becoming critical of somebody who is precious to God. The prophet is asking you, if you are not perfect in my sight and I'm not in your sight, what about in God's sight? Which is the sight that matters? Are you here? I look at you as human. I look at you as a brother. But God looks at you through the blood of his own son as a redeemed one. Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Let me quickly say this. For those who are smarter with the scriptures, it's a 1955 quote. But I want to submit that in 1965, the prophet did not change this position. I'm coming, I will bring 1965.
Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And not what you have done. You have nothing to merit it. You will never merit it. I will never merit it. That is why it is only God that qualifies those who are unqualified. Are you following me? God never chose you on the merit of your actions, your purity, your holiness, your righteousness. You are no one. You have no righteousness before he chose you. He chose you because he has his deposits that he has placed in you. Are you with me? He said, it's not what you have done. It is what Christ did for you. What did he do for you? He knew how you will be. You know, there's a scripture that says that God knows everybody and he doesn't need any man to introduce anybody. You read that scripture before? And another said, he knoweth our frame. He knoweth we are mortals. He will not always chide. Neither will he keep his anger forever. He knoweth who you are. Who I am. He knoweth what is in heart. When Samuel went to the house of Jesse, by stature, by courage, by charisma, David will not be qualified. That was why he was so forgotten that he existed. When it came to the matter of kingship, but they tried to pour oil on everybody available, the oil will not go. God said, I've rejected this one. God rejected seven until the prophet said, Jesse, are these all your children? He said, oh, there is one in the field. Samuel said, we will not sit down till that one comes. And when he came, he might not look royal. He might not look kingly. God told Samuel, my desire is in him. Then Samuel said, God does not see as man sees, because man looks with his five senses, but God looks by his blood. So your sight and the sight of God, they are completely different. This is where the prophet said, set your sight aside. Let me also set mine aside. Let us look at this person as God will see him. What is God seeing? God sees him as his redeemed. God sees him as perfect. God sees him as sinless. Hallelujah. Because God looks at him by his sacrifice. In the Old Testament, the priests were not instructed to examine the worshiper. They were instructed to examine the sacrifice that the worshiper brings. Is that right? So meaning, if you will be perfect, it will be by your sacrifice. Listen to me. Let me drop this. I'm very strongly. Brother Bram said, you are not perfect in the sense that you are sinless. You are not perfect in the sense that you don't make mistakes. You make mistakes. You will make mistakes. Brother Bram said, I do that every day. Our problem is that we have qualified what should be seen and what shouldn't be seen. Do you know? A lot of us will be looking at what we call sin. And we are saying, these ones are lesser. The one who is judging the bigger one has his own problem, has his own malice, has his own complex, has things he hears about people without checking it, before reacting. You are as sinful as that guy who is telling lies, who is fornicating, who is committing adultery. All of you are in the same shoes. Brother Bram said, you will never be perfect in the sense that you don't make mistakes. You know why you have your mistakes. Don't worry, just relax. I will open it to you. Why you will have your mistakes is because you carry this body. My brother, come. When we talk of redemption, we are talking of something inner. This is what Brother Bram said. Christianity is from inside out. We are talking of an inner world taking place. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But while the inner is being regenerated, let me say this. This, your outside body, can never, I will never be redeemed. The redemption of this one is a change of this one. So the prophet says, the best that this one can enjoy is a subjection. But don't forget, the reason you subject it is because it has tendency for rebellion. Despite your being filled with the Holy Ghost, underline it and coach me. Despite your being filled with the Holy Ghost, this your body is a rebellion. This is why the prophet said, you must always be at home in the spirit in order to give the inner man a chance so that he can put this one under absolute subjection. His subjection does not tame his rebellion. That is why Christians must not be careless. That is why the prophet said, it is not in how close you can get to sin and not commit sin. It is how far and fast you can shun its appearance. Because this remains a rebel. Amen.
Amen.
You love him. So this is the reason God offered Abraham or Abram an advance atonement, something to keep him, God knowing that things will take place and he will not prevent it from taking place, because God is going to use
Abraham
to explain redemption to you and her. So when you understand this, it will give you an assurance of salvation. Why I said this is this. If you watch Sister Bruce, how many remember her story? Amen. If there was not such interview like that,
published,
we can be in crisis about our Christian faith. Sister
Bruce,
according to our pastor,
the
prophet, was a Christian and a sincere one. But Sister Bruce was always constantly in crisis of health. When he gets out of one, she goes into another. If she did not break her arm today, something will happen tomorrow. Until the devil was taking advantage and beginning to make her feel that she's not a Christian. Yeah. If you want to trace it, trace it. It's not just the interview that Sister Blue's story started. It started a long time. Just like Sister Blue's, it will bring you all. One thing or the other, one thing or the other. That build that sister up to a level to feel that I doubt if I'm a Christian. And the prophet came to her in the hospital in one of her crises. And the devil has worked on her mind again. Brother Abraham said, she's somebody who always liked to stand in the gap for the people. She wants to pray for people. And in carrying the body of people sometimes, she breaks down. And the prophet said, Sister Bruce, you are a Christian. He said, I do not have an experience to point to say I'm a Christian. The prophet said, it's a very simple thing. You know what you were before. You know what you are now. He said, yes, I believe. He said, but that place I thought I should be, I am not there yet. But Abraham said, no, don't worry. You are still on a journey. But it must have taken something to change you from who you used to be to who you are now. Appreciate that first. When you appreciate that and you stand on that, the grace that did that change will take you through perfection. Do you know that sister was still arguing? And as long as she was arguing, the brother couldn't pray. So the prophet had to say, look, sister, I have watched you under vision.
Oh my.
You may not have the privilege of that. The prophet will tell you, I watch you under vision. When he said, I watch you under vision, there's nothing wrong in your life. You are a Christian. That was when Sister Bruce began to accept. He said, I have made many, many mistakes. Brother Bram said, that was why Christ died. For those your many, many mistakes. But in all those conversations, I didn't see the prophet saying, because you made these mistakes, you are no more a Christian. He said, you are still a Christian. Because if we don't fix this very well, Brother Bram said, Holy Ghost brings assurance of salvation. If we don't fix this very well, we will have undulating Christians. They are Christian today. They are not Christian tomorrow. They are Christian by a sermon. They are not Christian by another sermon. No, sir. God does not take his children through such a torture. If he saves you, he saves you freely forever. There must be an assurance that you are in him. And what am I saying this morning? Your solution, your atonement is existing even before you came. And what we need to do is to point you to the finish work. Brother Brown said, Sister Bruce, don't look at your fault. Look at what Christ has done. Because if you constantly look at yourself, you will never look perfect. But when you look at your sacrifice is your perfection. Because every true believer is represented by their sacrifice. Christ is our sacrifice. Before he was offered, he was examined by the critics, by the supporters, the verdict came, we find no fault in him. He did nothing deserving of death. And by that, he became qualified to pay the price of your sin. Once the price is paid, and you accepted the price, the purchase, by repentance, by water baptism, and by receiving of the Holy Spirit, you are saved from time unto eternity. Brother Abraham said, the symptom to know that salvation has taken place is that your desire will change. Are you here with me? Okay. Let's read one more thing. Let's take another quote. You love him this morning. All right. On the wings of a snow white dove. If you have it, give us the paragraph 46. On the wings of a snow white dove, just one message. Paragraph 46. That's the way it is with a genuine Christian. Just a denominational Christian can just take anything. But a genuine born again Christian cannot take the things of the world. It is constructed differently. I find out that the dove don't have any gall. There's no gall in the dove. Because he has no need of it. So that's the way it is with a Christian. He doesn't need any bitterness. Because he only can eat the food of God. And it doesn't take bitterness to dissolve that. It takes love to dissolve the food. Bitterness. Oh, they say, well, the difference with it. But love always receiveth the word of God. Now he has no God. So therefore, he could not, it's just against him to eat anything bad. And if he would, it will kill him. But there's no danger. He isn't going to eat it. Because he has no what? Appetite for it. Alright. And that's the way with a real Christian. Did you know a real Christian doesn't have any sin at all imputed to him? Can you swallow that a little? Can you swallow it a little? David said, blessed is the man who God will not impute sin to. When you are washed in the blood of the Lamb, not by make believe, but really the blood of the Lamb, God does not impute to you anything that is done because you are under the blood. And it doesn't do what? It doesn't see it. You will see why it doesn't see it now. There's a blood sacrifice. The only thing he can see you in is the way he saw you before the foundation of the world. When he put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, that is all he can look at, because you are redeemed from everything that was ever done. You are washed in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, there is no gall in you. There is no unclean habit in you. Because that the blood of the Lamb has done this. And God cannot impute sin to you after you've got a sin offering laying there waiting for you. Are you following? Don't be having suggestion that I'm making room for sin. And if you do, you are attacking the prophet. Well, you say, that gives me plenty of room then, Brother Abraham. I can do what I want to. That is if you have not met Christ. We wouldn't run from it. But we will tell you your problem. Amen. It's the word of the Lord. The prophet said, I always do what I want to. Always. Oh, suit yourself. It's about when a man can really see what Jesus done for him and turn around and do something contrary to him. It shows he never received Christ. Let's coach the words. Let the Lord take you of his word. Sometimes we say, let's not quote it, so that people will not take wrong impression. If you took wrong impression, you take it by the seeds that you have. It does not change the truth. There is no aspect of the gospel that gives you, don't take it away, put it there. There is no aspect of the gospel that gives you a license for sin. No, sir. But it lets you know what your liberties are. Let me tell you, we must not develop Christianity by fear. Brother Bram said, if you are trying to be holy because of the fear of repercussion, you are not a Christian yet. I'm still reading. We'll get it on how he plays it using the family life. If you are trying to do right because of the fear of God's penalty or because of the haunting memory of the film of hell that you watch, you are not yet a Christian. And that is why, for many of us, Christianity becomes a struggle. We are trying. That word try makes you not a Christian. We don't try to be Christians. We become Christians. Did you hear me? If you are trying, you are still not getting it. Because God does not call any man to try. What God calls every man to do is come repent. When you repent and you take his name, generally in water baptism, God becomes obligated to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Are you with me? God does not want you to try. He wants you to accept. Trying will take you nowhere. And I think sometimes, maybe the way we emphasize certain things makes it difficult. We tell ourselves sometimes, full obedience to the total word of God entitles you to the token. And we start running with that without waiting for the prophet to tell us what he meant. Then you tell people, try and obey the words. Make effort. Practice it. You are already building foundation for failure. Practice it. Let me ask you a question. If you can obey the word of God without the Holy Ghost, you can fully obey every word without the Holy Ghost, then what is the Holy Ghost giving for? Did You will see why many testify sometimes. They have received the Spirit. But in few weeks, they live more like a devil. It's because they tried for a while. And when they seem to be succeeding in trial, they equate it for conversion. No, sir. No, sir. Brother Bram never said, go and obey the entire world without the Holy Ghost. That's not what he said. If you were careful, in the same place he said, full obedience to the entire word of God entitles you to the Holy Ghost. The next paragraph, he said, how do you do it? He cleared it for us. And you know, he said you should do it. Acts chapter 2. He said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. That is why in Acts chapter 4, the Bible said Holy Ghost was given to those who obeyed. What did they obey? They obey Acts chapter 2, verse 38, because it is impossible for any man, for any woman, to live by this world without the Spirit that wrought this world. There must be a change of nature. Change of nature will bring change of appetite. Change of appetite will bring change of life. No two ways about it. Brother Bram, sir. I got a little wife sitting back there. Let's see how he showed us Christianity. She's 10 years younger than I. And as gray as I am. The reason is because she stood between me and the outside world. If I was going overseas, wouldn't this be some sort of a family to live in? If I gather my family around me, and I will say, look here, Mrs. Abraham, you want to realize you are Mrs. William Brown. Thou shalt not have any other husbands while I'm gone. Don't you make your eyes to any other man and all these things. Don't you flirt at all. If you do, when I come back, I'm going to divorce you. Now, here is the lesson. If she didn't do these things because of the fear of being divorced, she's not a real wife. You must get it separated. Are you catching it? If she does not do it, I don't want my husband to divorce me. Hey, don't talk to me. My husband will divorce me. It's a weak defense. But I tell you, that shows she's not a real wife. But she will look to you like she has obeyed her husband's instruction. That is the Christianity many have. Okay, watch. And she will turn around and say, now, my good man, I want to tell you something also. Thou shalt not, excuse me. Thou shalt not take out any other woman while you are gone. Thou shalt not do this and that. If you do, just consider yourself divorced when you come home. If Brother Abraham did not also do, because of the fear of being divorced, he is not a genuine husband. Are you getting it?
It
looks like a thin line. She can try to obey these things and not flesh and not carry a woman and not do this and not do that out of fear of the repercussion of doing. That is not Christianity. And that is a weak position to take. And that is why many of us, we could enjoy what looks like our Christianity for so long. But because your obedience, your devotion is premised on a sinking sand, it doesn't last. Now let's see. The prophet said, now wouldn't that be a loving family? See, no. Oh. So with all the things she didn't do, with all the things he did not do, Brother Abraham rejected that family. If I really love her, this love can only be shed abroad in your heart by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said, if I really love her, though I believe, if I did make a mistake and sleep and do something wrong, I believe she will forgive me for it because she loves me. Are you here? And if you go ahead and do because you believe, you will also have forgiveness. You are still not genuine. So that should make you comfortable that I'm not supporting sin, but I'm preaching the whole concept. We have to put Christianity where it should be. Doesn't matter what I do, my wife will forgive me. You are not a Christian. You are not a genuine husband. My husband will forgive me. You are not a genuine wife. You are taking advantage. And if she did, I believe I will forgive her for it. Certainly, because I love her. Amen. But if I love her like that, as long as I love her like that, she has no worry. So there will be no need, if I'm traveling, for her to warn me or for me to warn her. It's not necessary. You know why? Because the relationship is established upon what? Love. Though she will forgive me, I wouldn't hurt her for nothing. I will feel the guiltiest guy in the world. I couldn't wait for the minute I will tell her about what I done because I love her. If I love her with filial love like that, how much greater will my agape love be to Jesus Christ? So the power not to do resides in divine love. You love God too much. You cannot stand to hurt him. And that love can only come to your heart by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's what the scripture said. Though I might smoke a cigarette, I never in my life, but though I would, he might forgive me for it. I believe he would. If I took a drink, I never in my life, but I believe he will forgive me for it. And I love him too much. How many loves him too much? How many love God too much? I love him too much. Oh God, help me. I don't want to do anything like that. See, because I love him. Watch. That stuff is gone from. That stuff is. He's gone from, because when he changed me from a crow to a dove, it made a difference. My appetite and things left me. Sin cannot come to me by desire. Did you hear me? Sin cannot come to you by desire. If you have craving for sin, you are yet a sinner. If you have craving for sin, you didn't make mistake, you are sinning. But what if God took care of that desire? The prophet said, can you still be tempted to do some little things? Brother Bram said, yes. And it wouldn't change you from being a Christian, because those things do not come to you by desire. He said, my appetite and things left me. Then sin is not imputed to me. Watch it. Because I don't. I don't aim to do it. It's not in me to do it. When that is your experience, you have begun a journey under atonement. Yeah. You began a journey under atonement. Your desire must change. That is what is called a new birth. When you were born, you were born with a dark soul, with a little white button. Brother Bram said, that little white button, which we call the seed gem or the gene of God, was actually to be you. That is your real you. But because of the nature of your birth, the first thing, the first appearance and manifestation is the nature, the natural birth imposed upon you. Born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come to the world speaking lies. By nature, the children of wrath. That's what it means. But in there was something that is laying dormant. While you were running up and down, living in your wicked, wanton life, God did not change his mind about the fact that you are his own. There are still many women at the well. There are still many women at the well who will still come to the saving grace of Christ. There are still many Rahabs who will still come to the saving grace of Christ. Because even though their outward look so bad, yet they are important to God's economy. Rahab had to come in for our Lord Jesus Christ to be manifested in flesh. Is that right? Because that's the genealogy. Manasseh, who was a wicked king, God had to tempt him. God had to change him because he's to form part of the lineage through which our Lord will come. The things that are worthless, the things that look useless in the eyes of man are great in the eyes of God because of these deposits. At God's appointed time, the man finds the need to repent. He repents. He takes the name of the Lord in water baptism. Then the prophet said, Holy Ghost and fire comes into his soul to cleanse all those darkness and give life to that seed for it to be quickened so that he can now realize who he is. Then from that moment, he becomes my son in whom I travel until Christ be formed in you. He's on his journey to a full formation. That is Christianity. Brother Bram said, our atonement, the first thing it does is to give us salvation. Then what is the next thing? It protects us from our accusers. We have only one accuser. The accuser of the brethren, which is Satan. Amen.
Amen.
Then after our protection from our accuser, he protects us from the assaults of our accuser. Let's start. Because Brother Bram, in the message, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. He said everything that God wanted to do, he has shown it through types and shadows throughout the Bible. He started with Father
Abraham
with atonement. I tell you, it was that atonement that eventually produced a body change. It was that atonement that eventually made him to bring forth. Atonement gave him name change, body change, and it made him to bring forth the promise of that hour, despite all that he went through. Your atonement will do the same. When Israel, in the first Exodus, when they had to leave
Egypt,
God dedicated that journey with atonement. He started it with atonement. He called for the Passover. He said, kill a lamb and use the blood of the lamb. Put it on the lintel and the doorpost. You know what the prophet called? He said, God told them to make a sign of the cross. It's a quotation. He wanted them to hide behind
Calvary
in a shadow form. Calvary gave us the perfect atonement. But the idea of the cross has started a long time ago. He said the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts is a sign of the cross. As many as hid behind it, the death of the firstborn had no impact upon them. But watch. See how powerful it is. It doesn't matter who it is. as long as they can come behind it. Let me say this. If an Egyptian could come behind it, it is not his tribe that will be respected. It is the atonement that God sees. So as many as came behind it, they were protected. Now, when they were going, here is another dimension. God told them this journey, you can't do it by yourself or by your understanding. I'm going to send my angel. Is bringing us to Deuteronomy 4. My angel will go before you. What is the reason they will have the angel? It is the message of that angel that will keep them within the range of the atonement, so that no matter what they come across along their way, as long as they stand by that message, they are covered. But the angel is not physical. It was a pillar of fire. The pillar of fire does not always make himself visible to everybody. It is not all of us that can see it. Some eyes are trained to see it. That is why when people come to the prayer line, when the prophet was here, he will ask them, are you feeling sweet? They will say yes. He said, that angel of the Lord that I told you, that pillar of fire is just 2 feet from where you are. They are not seeing it, but they are feeling it. But there must be somebody whose eyes must be trained to see it. Because it is difficult to follow a leader that you cannot see. The pillar of fire must lead, but they don't see the pillar of fire. This is why God brought a Moses. Moses became the humanization of the leadership of the pillar of fire. So that whatever the pillar of fire says, Moses hears and tell the church. Wherever the pillar of fire moves, Moses can see and guide the church. So to follow the pillar of fire is to follow Moses. To follow Moses is following the pillar of fire. And you need that followership. If you are going to be kept within the range of atonement, so that you can receive your blessings. Because I tell you, friends, there's Red Sea on your way. There's wall of Jericho. There is the Anakims. There are the Hamorites who are ready to cut your life short prematurely. The prophet said so. But as long as you can follow, you will be kept under atonement, and the powers of Satan will not be able to bother you. This is why in Deuteronomy chapter 4, Moses was telling the people, he said, you saw what happened in Baal Peor. You saw what happened in this place. You saw what happened in that place. He said, but you that cleave, in other words, you that follow the message of the hour, the message of your hour is to keep you under the atonement. When Abraham said, people want the blessing of the blood, but they are denying the way to the blood. The way to the blood remains the word of God. And that word is the message to you. That is why in the message rapture, The prophet of the Lord says, one of these days, there will be a great Amastice match. And we shall be marching up to glory. The saints marching up. He said, displaying upon their chests. Displaying on their chest the blood of Jesus. It's at the message of the hour in which they live in. So the only way to come under God's atonement, the finished work of Calvary for today, is to come under the message of the hour. When you receive the Spirit that comes from the blood, it will bring you under obedience to what the message says. And when you live by the message, there's no power in hell. There's no power on earth. There's no power above that can defeat you. In the first Exodus, I'll close with this. In the first Exodus, the prophet Moses, one of the things he gave the people was understanding how to keep themselves under atonement. Don't forget, their journey was physical, but ours is spiritual. God told Moses, he said, divide the 12 tribes into four. For each group, make a tribe ahead. I think Dan was the head of a group. Reuben the head of a group. Judah the head of a group. And I can't remember the last one. There are four divisions like that. And God told this Moses, he said, tell them, each group must be on one side of geography. A group will be on the north. Okay, thank you. A group will be in the east. A group will be in the west. And a group will be in the south. As you are seeing on the board. Then he said, the tabernacle of God should be in the middle. Now, sometimes you may not understand why God sets an order. But what you are called to do is to diligently follow. Are you watching? Whether you understand why or you do not understand why, stay by what the word says. Because it is the word that keeps you under atonement. God told them, he said, if you were to go to the northern direction, let those who are on the north lead the journey. If you are going west, the ones on the west lead the journey. If you are going north, the one on the north lead the journey. If you are going east, the one on the east lead the journey. That is the way you should move. They were not just moving like a straight line. Go read your Bible. Each tribe must pitch under their tribal emblem. And he told them, move like that. When you get to a place of rest, keep the order. To some people, it is too much. But for Moses, it is either that or nothing. Now, see the blessing of it. The Bible said one day, they were coming to Moab. And as they got to Moab, they were told to pitch. Once Israel hear the word pitch, they understand what it means. The northern group must go north. The west must go west. west, the east must go east, the north must go north, then the levers must bring the ark into the middle. Unknown to these people, their cousin Moabites was warming up to curse them. And they went to bring a man, a prophet, whose word does not fail. If he curses, the curse will come. Whatever he says is what happened. But I thank God. When they wanted this man to curse, they took him to a high mountain. And they said, look down and curse these people. When he looked down, look at what he saw. You see, this came about. If you look at this picture, the people on the north, you know, in the book of Numbers, God actually numbered them. The people on the north were this much. The people on the south were 151,000, not 51. The people on the west were 108, not 157. Then the people in the east, 186. When they line up like that, according to their side, what do they form? They form the sign of the cross. So when Balaam looked down, what he was seeing was a people under atonement. And that was why it became difficult for Balaam to curse them. Because you cannot curse those who are under the blood. My brother, my sister, the church order was not given for nothing. It's to keep the church under atonement. When God told the wife how she should do in the house, and he told the husband the position he should take, is to keep your family under atonement. When you follow God's divine instruction, when you cleave unto it, the book of Deuteronomy says it will protect you from death, from curses, from the powers of hell. He said, if we walk in the light, what is the light? The light is the message of the hour. There is a light that speaks about our family. There is a light that speaks about our conduct, our order, our doctrine, that speaks about our dressing, our behavior, our manner, the kind of conversation we must be having. If we walk in that light, we are under atonement. No matter what's near, no matter what power is coming against us, it's a waste of time. Israel, when they pitched like this, they didn't know Balak and Balaam were busy changing direction. They moved from this angle. For any angle they move, they see the cross. When they move like this, they see the cross. When they move like this, they see the cross. From all the four angles, the cross was visible because they went on the mountain. When you pitch behind the west, you are pitching under atonement. You will not find the word easy until you receive the life of the west, which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It will create the love of God in your heart to live a life that is worthy. Brother Bram said, Christianity becomes unconscious life. If you are preparing to do right, you are not a Christian yet. But if that life comes to you as easy, as you know, if you close your eyes, your food will not miss your mouth, then you are a Christian. When you have that, that is when you begin to come under atonement. You don't need to say, I plead the blood of Jesus. You are already under the blood of Jesus. When the family do that, they are already under the blood of Jesus. Let's see what Balaam said. Let's see what Balaam
said.
They took him everywhere. Cause these people. Let me tell you. Israel was just pitching. Setting as God said they should set. And they are set in form and atonement. A sign of the cross. They didn't even know what was going on. Just as Mordecai did not know what was going on. When Haman and his friends we are plotting. It is the battle that you know about that you start praying for. Mordecai didn't know what was going on. But he was holding on to the word of his hour, and holding on to that word put him under atonement. When those guys were gathering, as the Bible said, they shall surely gather, and they were plotting. Mordecai, without one prayer, without one prayer, this is not to negate prayer, don't misunderstand. But I'm saying, even if you want to pray, you must come under something. You must pray according to the word. You must come under the word for your prayer to be effective. The effectual righteous prayer, the fervent prayer of a righteous man. Our righteousness is the message of the hour. It's more important for you to stay under the word than anything else. Because there are times you won't know the battle you are facing. But the guy was not aware that Haman and the people were plotting. But because he was under the blood, by being in the word, God fought his battle. And God will fight your battle. As long as you remain under the blood, cleave unto the word. If you cleave to the word constantly, you will escape all the dangers of this exodus. Dathan, Korah, and Abiram, they perish in the wilderness because they rebel against the message. They rebelled against the atonement. That was why they perished. When they were under the atonement in Egypt during the Passover, do you know they escaped the death of the firstborn? When they were under the atonement, do you know they escaped the Red Sea? And they kept going on until they came to a point they said, we don't want this message any longer. Any man who rebel against the message of the hour has forfeited his mercy. He will perish in the wilderness. Cleave to this message. Hold dear unto it. It is your life. It is your health. It is your salvation. It is your protection from every curse, from every power, from every sin, from every temptation. Believers are not afraid of temptations and trials because they hide under the word. It is no longer them living. It is the word that is living. if the devil can defeat the word, then they can be defeated. For if the devil cannot defeat the word, believers are undefeatable. Let me tell you, even if you fall, it doesn't mean you are defeated. Because you are not falling like Satan. Satan is the only one who fell and never rose again. He became Satan and he will remain Satan till eternity will come. But if the righteous man falls seven times, he will rise up seven times. So if you fall, if you make a mistake, it is not like the devil. Yours is redeemable. You can get back your life. You can get back your testimony. You can still live a life worthy. Samson said, once more, Lord. Did he say so? Did it happen? Once more, Lord. And when he said once more, Lord, listen to me. The Bible told me it is not for nothing. My Bible recorded that he killed more in his dying than when he was even living. That is the God that I serve. Samson killed more in his restoration from his backslidingness. He defeated more. He had more victory than when he had when he was standing. This is the paradox of God. A Christian may be down, but he will never be out. It was Satan who fell and couldn't rise again. If he rose, he wouldn't be Satan. Did you catch that? He will have become a believer. But a backslider today, hearing my voice, can come back to Christ. A sinner today can come back to Christ. If you have a besetting nature, come back to Christ. There is power in this world to change you, to set you free. Don't be a believer out of fear. Don't manage it. Don't patch it up. Don't try it. Come and accept the life that will change you, that will put the love of God in your heart and turn you from a sinner to a permanent saint. That is the message of the hour. You love him. Despite all their faults and everything, as long as they kept under that voice of that one, pitch here, pitch like this, the devil is in trouble. Do you see why? No matter what happened to you, don't leave the church. Are you hearing me? Because the church of God, when they are standing there with the word, it's a ground that offers you atonement. They put you under the blood. That is why Brother Bram said, if you walk your way to excommunication, he said you are taken from the protection of the blood. Don't let it happen. Stay in here. Cleave to the word. And you will stay safe. Husband, be husbands indeed. Husbands, take what the word says and live as sons of God in your homes. Sisters, live as daughters of God in your home. When you take your position and she takes the position and the children in their position, you are pitching under atonement. The devil cannot harm that family. God will be responsible. After Balak had roamed around. Sorry, this is my last line. After Balaam had roamed around. See what he eventually said. Oh. God is not a man That is you lie. I'm cutting it. Neither the Son of Man that is you repent. At his edge, and shall he not do it? Do you know what God did? God took personal responsibility for the protection of those people. God told Balaam, he said, whatever I put in your mouth is what you will say. When Pharaoh, when he charged towards God's people, because they were following the pillar of fire, the instruction of the message, he placed them under their torment. God took responsibility for their protection. It will do for you. It will do for me. He will meet your need. He will fight your battle. He will plead your cause. But you must come under atonement. Your atonement is the message of the hour. Look at what he said. Or at his spoken, and shall he not make it good? He said, behold, I have received commandment to bless. It was a command. Did you hear me? If he opens his mouth to curse, it will turn to blessing. You don't need to be afraid. You don't need to be scared for nothing. You are secured. You are protected. As long as you are living under the obedience to this message of the hour, I say you are secured. You are protected. You are shielded. There can be no harm, because God will take responsibility. You are the people of his atonement. I have received the commandment to bless, and he had blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Give us the next line. He had not beheld iniquity. He had not done what? Was there iniquity? Oh, was there problems along the way? Was there murmurings? Was there this and that? But what did God say? I didn't see it. What did God say? I've shown you from the message. I've shown you from the scripture. It is sin for you to disbelieve it. What did God say? I didn't see it, because he was looking at them. Under the blood, there is no alarm. Jesus keep me right under the blood. Even under the blood, you will not live a life of zigzag. You will not be sinning today, righteous tomorrow. Atonement takes care of it. It changes your appetite. It gives you only one desire: a life worthy. He that is born of God does not commit sin. Because the seed of God, the seed of God does not sin. The seed germ is not a sinner. He does not crave for sin. He does not crave for unbelief. He does not have sinful appetite. Because his desire is right. If he does anything wrong, which he is prone to, the professor is prone to, by the flesh, it's a mistake. Let's read on. He had not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither at his sin perverseness in Israel. The Lord is with him. Is the Lord with us? It's a message to you, as it was to the first Exodus. And the shout of a king is among them. Have we received the message of the shout? Have we received the message of the shout? Is the shout of the king among us? The revealed word, the seas revealed, seven thunders revealed, Brother Abraham said, shout is not the first pull. Shout is not the second pull. Shout is the third pull. In the message rapture, he said, that is the message that I have been waiting for under the healing service. This is it. So the shout of the king is among us. Give me the scripture. I want that you give me my image. God, is that the next verse? God brought them out of Egypt. He had, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. Surely.
Amen.
For a man under atonement, or a man under this message, the blood of Jesus Christ, surely there is no enchantment that bring herbalist or spiritualist. They are the one that do enchantment. It's a waste of time when you are doing it against me. I'm saying it openly. It's a waste of time. I am under the blood. I am under my atonement. I'm under the message of the hour. It's a waste of time. Enchanting. Some of you don't go to your villages because you are afraid of enchantment. Shame on you. Wherever the sole of my feet touch, it shall be given to me for a possession. The devil is not going to cage me. I will cage the devil. No enchantment. Neither is there any divination against Israel. Which Israel? I'm not preaching to Jewish Israel. I'm preaching to spiritual Israel. No power of hell. No force of darkness. Somebody say you will see it. And you are jittery. You are jittery. It's because you don't know who you are. If you are living in sin, he will show you. But if you are living in the message,
amen.
Tell him. Tell her, I shall see nothing but the glory of God. According to this time, it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what had God wrought? It's like, see what the Lord has. According to this time, it shall be said of you, what has God done? See what the Lord
has.
Come under this message. Don't leave it. Cleave unto it. Walk in the light. As he is in the light. Then you have a permanent, a continuous cleansing. Atonement will speak for you. Atonement will shield you. Brother Abraham said, we walk in the midst of snares, landmines everywhere. He said, but because we are under the blood, we will not be blown to pieces. The message is your deliverance. Don't allow anything to take you from it or to take it from you. If you want to escape the hazard of Balaam, whether by teaching Balaam, whether he's teaching or his curses, cleave to this message. Be more determined to stay with the message in all purity. If you are struggling, come and receive the Holy Ghost. It will take the struggle completely out of your life. The mercy, the blood that speaketh better things than that of Abel, will daily speak for you. Because why? You are the people of his atonement. Everything that happened to Abraham never mattered. The atonement stood and brought him to where God wanted. It won't matter too in your life, in my life. Don't write yourself off. Don't take what man is saying or has said. If your life is wrong, make it right. Begin to see yourself as God sees you. Don't even see yourself as sickness made you. If you made you barren, begin to see yourself as fruitful. If he made you weak, begin to see yourself as strong. Because you are under atonement, and it is the will of God that will happen. God bless you. In Christ alone, if they can give us the song. Can you give us the song, In Christ Alone?
Oh,
bursting forth
in glorious faith.
Oh, 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 oh.
From the great hero I came.
Oh,
and as he stands,
as he stands. Before you. You drew them by yourself. Nobody made an altar call. Lord, whatever is the need in their life, they've been shown the power of atonement. It could be, oh God, a life of sin. It could be sickness. It could be disease. It could be a sinful habit. It could be a besetting nature. This day, oh God, I pray you will give them victory.
Amen.
May the power in the word
Amen.
Come into every life.
Amen.
Break the tempter's power.
Amen.
Take away every gloom.
Amen.
Turn the captive free.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus
Amen.
Christ. Visit your people, Lord,
Amen.
And give them a testimony.
Amen.
Even like never before.
Amen.
They are laying at the altar.
Yes, Lord.
It is your spirit that pulled them by yourself. Whatever needs are in their heart, I pray that you will release, O God, unto thee, O God. They lift up their souls. O our God, they trust in thee. May they not be ashamed.
Amen.
May the pandemic never triumph. May the powers of hell give way.
Amen.
May you wrought a deliverance like never before in the lives of these saints.
Amen.
May the blood that speaketh better things
Amen.
Than those of Abel
Amen.
Speak for your children
Amen.
Even right now
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Loose them, O God,
Amen.
From the shackles of sin.
Amen.
Loose them, O God,
Amen.
From the shackles of sickness.
Amen.
Loose them, O God, from the shackles of disease.
Amen.
Loose them, O God, from the shackles of the powers of
Amen.
Darkness. May they have victory.
Amen.
May they come to that realization that it is a finished work.
Amen.
You've done it for them.
Amen.
Help them, dear Father,
Amen.
To rise up in your might,
Amen.
In your grace,
Amen.
With a determination
Amen.
To follow thy word
Amen.
Each step of the way,
Amen.
To live by the message of the hour, to bless you before them.
Amen.
Do it, Father. Bless these people. Bless the ones at the pew. Bless your daughter holding my leg here. I don't know what her request is. I don't know what her burden is. But certainly you know, oh God. I ask that you will give it to her in the name of Jesus Christ. Be merciful to this daughter of Zion in the name of Jesus. Give her victory. Give her deliverance. Give her peace. In the name of Jesus, whatever brought her here, oh God, Lord, let her go with a testimony. In the name of Jesus Christ, you came through, oh God, for Jacob of old when he held on to you. Oh, I come to represent you, even to thy people. She has held onto my leg like she would have held onto yours. I pray, oh God, that you will honor her
Amen.
By this in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Maybe she's like that woman
Amen.
With the issue of blood.
Yes,
oh, dear Father, I pray, oh God, that that issue will stop. May the power of hell give way completely.
Amen.
Daughter, receive your request
Amen.
In the name of Jesus
Amen.
Christ. Those at the altar, receive your request
Amen.
In the name of Jesus
Amen.
Christ. Those at the pew, receive your request. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
May the Lord set you. May the Lord establish you.
Amen.
May the Lord make you happy.
Amen.
May the Lord give you peace.
Amen.
May you go back a better people.
Amen.
By the turn of next year.
Amen.
If God tarry
Amen.
And we gather again, may you bring your substance
Amen.
Of testimony,
Amen.
Evidence
Amen.
Of an answer prayer.
Amen.
I commend it to you, O Lord.
Amen.
Let it be dear Father.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus Christ's name we pray.
Amen.